was our feeling that as a team, we were not getting better. And yes, we had a young team, but I think if we reflect on it, we would all say a young team should get better. We simply didn't feel like that was happening. That as a team, we were not getting better. And yes, we had a young team, but...
Nathan Zgarevic-Carucci here in Berea in a tumultuous day, obviously. And now it is time to bring together the roundtable. Doug Deacon, Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And today's roundtable, of course, is served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Gentlemen, obviously, this is a one-story show today, as you might expect. And as guys who have been around this...
And you're talking about the lack of the running game yesterday, in Pittsburgh, Nathan?
Edwin Baker not
scoring for the
first time.
That's a good topic, and I think it's got legs.
It does have... It does, too bad there aren't any more games. Yeah. As guys who have been around this team and organization longer than I have, does this coaching change feel any different? And watching that press conference, did it feel any different or make you feel any better than the ones have in the past?
Well, it's the most shocking one, and we have been through a lot of them, because we know the guy. I mean, Chud had been here before, and we knew the history of him, and we also knew that he really wanted to be a head coach, and it seemed like such a great story last year at this time. So it's shocking, I mean, that it came so quickly. As I listen to the press conference, it really does seem to me that the sameness of the losses at the end of the year seemed to really be the thing that swayed it. And if I had to get more specific, it seems that the Jacksonville loss was tough for this front office to accept, because I kept hearing we were watching teams improve that were below us at the beginning of the year, first-year head coach. And to me, I mean, I understand, but, you know, Mark Trestman's in a different pilot seat in Chicago, but Gus Bradley coming in here and the way they won it and how the Browns let lead slip away, I mean, if you had to be specific, I know that the decision was made Saturday night, but it seems to me after that Jacksonville game, they might have been wondering, wow.
Might have gotten in their heads.
Yeah, where's this going? This doesn't seem like it's going to end well.
Well, I think the suddenness of it, you know, with the tenure of only a year under his belt. And, you know, and anytime you lose, and that, obviously that's why it all, you know, happened, but you lose because of the surrounding parts, too. It's just not the coach. It's not the coordinator. You know, it's the personnel, the decisions, that the roster. You know, you churn the bottom of your roster. Sometimes, you know, you're 13 weeks in the season, and you've got guys that should be on the OTA program. And, you know, this hurts the overall part of your team. But, you know, I think, you know, the fact that Chud had grown up a Browns fan, you know, makes it even a little, you know, tougher, because you know how much it meant to him to have this job. And, did the team underachieve? Yeah, I think they did in some ways. But, you know, at some point, you got to draft and develop. And if you're going to draft and develop, I'm not sure if, you know, in 1 year you can, you know, really develop. And we saw some great strides by some players. Jordan Cameron, big strides. We saw Josh Gordon, humongous strides. So there were players that were taking a step, you know, the right way. And they mentioned the guys that, you know, were hurt, that, you know, were a big factor. Well, those were also guys that the coach didn't have on his roster, you know, to help try to win games.
I think, and you talked about the Jacksonville game, I think there were two games that were really important here. Number one was Jacksonville, and I think number two was the Jets, because that was the one game that I watched that I felt that the effort wasn't maybe where it should have been relative to
that was
to the
only time, Nathan, that
I would say
noticed.
The only time. Right. Yeah. But I think it was such a contrast to a Jets team that was clearly playing to keep their head coach in Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
And if you saw the video in the locker room when the owner, Woody Johnson, came in and said that Rex Ryan's still going to be the head coach, have you seen that video yet?
No, I haven't done.
Check. They go nuts. They mob him. They're crying. The players are crying. They're hugging him. He's crying. It was unbelievable. And I think that maybe that lack of passion for the players to stick up for him was interesting to me.
Let me ask you all this.
With their play.
Play.
Let me ask you all this, and I think all those examples are very fitting here. If they had beaten New England, are we here today talking about this? Because that would have been a signature win, beating them in Foxborough in December, beating Tom Brady and really handcuffing Brady, because if they had ended up finishing the thing off, they had done a great job on him. I don't think so. I think everything would have been not okay, but it would have been better.
If it doesn't fall apart in the second quarter against Cincinnati, if they stop Jacksonville from going 80 yards to beat them, if they hold on to a 12-point lead with 2 minutes left against New England, I think maybe any of those three, and he's here.
But those are also
happening.
Those are indictments of Rob Chudzinski. Those are indictments of coaching.
Yeah,
when things like that repeatedly happen, then you have to ask the question, why the hell is it happening? And the head coach stops on his desk.
And every week.
And the timeout, man, you know, game management, time management, those were also undercurrents. Those were issues.
Let me throw out a couple stats because I was trying to do a little research this morning. This Cleveland Browns team led or tied at the half in 10 games.
Right.
They won 4. They never won a single game when trailing at the half. Not once this year. Obviously, when you only win 4 games, there's a limited sample set. They were outscored 83-39 in the fourth quarter. They were outscored in the second half of the game, 10 out of 16 games. They're outscored in the fourth quarter, 11 out of 16 games. Those are tough. Those are tough numbers to digest when you think about it. And when you talk about should he or should he not have gotten fired, the only teams with longer losing streaks at the end of the season, Houston 14 games, Washington 8 games, both coaches have been fired.
Right.
The AFC record, only team with the
neither
worst AFC record.
Neither first-year coach, though. That's
both good ones, Kubiak and Shanahan.
Yeah.
Houston 2-10, only team with the worst record in the AFC. The only team with the worst record on the road this year was Minnesota, 0-7-1. Of course, we know Leslie Frazier has been fired. So this was a team, and I go back to the Jets because watching that video to me was powerful for the way those guys clearly rallied. They finished they won 3 of the last 4 games with a rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, no talent. When I say no talent, not a single Pro Bowler on this New York Jets team, and they found a way to get it done. Go to Miami in basically a similar situation where Miami was playing to get into the playoffs and beat them because they wanted to keep Rex Ryan. They wanted to show it on the field. A team that I'd say arguably has less talent than the Browns.
And there's something to be said for that, but a lot of these players are going to be turned over. A lot of those who didn't deliver for him aren't going to get a chance to deliver for or not deliver for somebody else.
Yeah, but the difference is, the Jets were aware of it, where I don't think these players were aware of, how...
Yeah, well, Rex Ryan's future was in doubt for months, like Mike Shanahan's. Yeah.
Maybe they should have been aware.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, maybe they should have been aware. And you're right, because when we went in that locker room yesterday, I mean, these guys were totally shocked when they were hit with the questions that Chud was hit with when he stood up in front of the media. I mean, they were very upset. I mean, Joe Thomas, DeQuell Jackson, the guys that have been here for a while, they were frustrated and they were really ticked off and shocked by it. But I mean,
it's not a message sending thing. Firing the coach to your players, that teams don't operate that way. You deal with the coach in a separate entity, and you want to get that part right, and then your roster is your roster.
Yeah.
And this one will be influenced by a bunch of different things, not the least of which will be whoever the new guy is and whatever systems he brings with him with coordinators and so forth are going to influence how this thing shapes up. We're going to see more new faces,
absolutely.
Not only from the draft, free agency, whatever.
And I think the statement they have to make is, this is not a restart. Yeah, it's going to be a new coach, but we have a nucleus, and, we plan on being a winning football team, next year. I mean, that's a high expectation, but with all the draft picks, with the 5 Pro Bowl players, you should have high expectations.
Sure.
I agree, and I think one of the reasons that this decision happened right here is because if they felt they have their plan, and their plan involves a head coach that can be here, Joe said it many times, that wants to be here for the long haul. He did it with Andy Reid. He wants that. I get the very strong sense that he wants that. If Rob Chudzinski, they decided, was not the guy, you do it this year because of all the assets that are there. A, it's going to allow you to attract a much better candidate than you would in a normal offseason. I think this offseason is set up for a jump for this team. So whoever comes in, I think, is walking into a very good situation.
History says this emphatically. A GM, or let's call Joe Banner that. I mean, the guy who gets to hire the coach, basically, usually gets to hire a second head coach, and that's it. I mean, you get a second coach, you never get a third. You get this right, and in many cases, you don't even get past the one.
Yeah.
If the one's bad, then you go with him.
Phil Savage never got beyond the one.
And there are other cases. So usually they do get that opportunity to get the second one right because of all the points we've made about systems taking time and turnover and draft.
I agree with you on that. Yep. So the fire has been lit. They're on the clock.
Big time.
I mean, they're on the clock.
They're on the clock, and I think the difference is when you look at, Minnesota, Leslie Frazier, 3 years, and now at this point the fans are, of course, get him out. We don't want it. This hasn't worked.
And they went to the playoffs last year.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a tough league. I would rather they're either going to be here or they're not based on how this goes. So if they're going to take their shot and they felt that this was the wrong thing, I think these guys are smart enough to get, hopefully, they've got to get it right now.
Right.
So they get one do-over, get it right, and there's an opportunity, I think, for this to be great. Because if anything comes through from any of these press conferences, and whether the people out there listening like anybody in here or not, the one thing that you have to be able to feel is that Jimmy Haslam is here to win, period. That is all. That man is of a singular focus, and that is to turn the Cleveland Browns into a winner, no matter the cost, no matter how popular, unpopular decisions along the way are. That is what he cares about, period. And at least that, to me, says something about this organization.
And despite the lack of, you know, tenure only lasting 1 year, I think the attractiveness of, you know, the core of people, five Pro Bowl players, and all those draft picks, you know, can sway somebody.
Sure.
I think so.
People want to be head coaches in the NFL.
And they want to win.
Oakland never had a problem finding a candidate. I mean, if they're the example of the worst, and you know, I don't know where this team ranks in that, but if they're the example of the most dysfunctional organization in the NFL, they always manage to find a guy who will take that job because it's a chance to be an NFL head coach, to generally get paid pretty handsomely for it.
I would like to ask a procedural matter here, league-wide. All right. We some of these teams in the playoffs go into a bye week. New England is one of them.
Right.
All right. If you wanted to talk to Josh McDaniels, can you?
It's a 48-hour window that starts this coming weekend. And then once the playoffs, once they're started.
Into their game week?
Yep. And then you can't talk to him until
after. So I would assume that's going to happen.
I would think that the weekend, this is a big weekend in this process.
I agree.
If I had to put a timetable to things, this is a coming weekend's a big weekend.
I think you got to remember now in the equation that they laid out, whether it was intended to be laid out that way or not, but I go by what was said in the press conference. Josh did not interview here last year. He pulled himself out of the running, rather surprisingly.
Remember,
he took himself out of the running and said he wanted to concentrate on getting the Patriots and doing his job there.
And the obvious dots connected there with Mike Lombardi and how there's a fondness. They know each other.
Right.
He'll trust that he knows Brian Hoyer here. He'll trust that whatever ideas he has about building an offense – he's going to get the support of the personnel department, Joe and Michael, for that.
So I would assume, as you mentioned, because of the rules, that it is a busy weekend and an important weekend for them to identify whether or not that candidate clicks, because I would think he would be right up at the top.
I probably could have done the whole show with this roundtable, but this is good. We'll have to take this as good enough. And, guys, thank you so much.
We should all go there and get some drinks.
Exactly. Let's go to Rosewood Grill.
Let's do it there.
I mean, where are the sushi shots when you need them?
Stronger shots than that in Hudson and in Strongsville. Catch the delicious details, rosewoodgrill.com. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, and we thank Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Doug Deacon, of course, the analyst, former Browns offensive lineman with us here in their regular spots. We've got more coming up. We do want to hear more from you. I know we've been getting a lot of tweets, 216-578-0850. What do we want them to say? What do we want them to ask us, Nathan? Anything special?
This is what I want to know, because since this happened, my phone's been blown up, my Twitter, my email been blown up with people. They're angry, and I want to understand what it is about Rob Chudzinski being fired that makes you so angry. Why are you angry that he got fired? Is it because you thought he was done wrong with only a year? Do you think it shows signs of dysfunction? Just let me know what it is about the situation that has you so emotional about the firing of a coach who just lost 7 games in a row on a team that went 4-12 with 5 Pro Bowlers when nobody else in the top 8 had more than 2. So that's my question. That's what I'd like to know.
Sounds like a fair one.
And I think we're going to find out. We're going to get the answer because I know people are upset. But that's my question. So there it is. All right. When we come back, we will definitely be hearing from you. We do want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. We're going to get some rabid barks from the dog pound, I'm sure. And, of course, you can tweet the show at Browns_daily. We'll be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily here on a very newsworthy day. Rob Chudzinski has been fired as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns after less than 1 year in the job. We'll be back with more right after this.